My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. Today we are doing a remote podcast from Denton, Texas. We're here for the Science and Faith Conference, sponsored by Discovery Institute. The mission of Discovery Institute is to advance the understanding that human beings and nature are the result of intelligent design rather than a blind and undirected process. They seek long-term scientific and cultural change through cutting-edge research and scholarship, education, and training of young leaders, communication to the general public, and advocacy of academic freedom and free speech for scientists, teachers, and students. Their headquarters, their main office, is in Seattle, Washington. However, they do also have in Dallas, Texas, a satellite office. And they have produced a program, a conference, for the past 2 years, and we are very happy to be here. Now, with me, I have Peter Eddington from the home office and Stephen Britt, who is pastor of churches in Northern Virginia and Maryland. Steve is a PhD in applied mathematics and has a special interest in this area of intelligent design and the application of it. And so we invited him to come with us. So welcome to Inside United.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Vic. Great to be on the program.
I'd like to start with Steve Britt to talk about what impressed him today.
Sure. So I think if I had to choose a favorite talk from the day, it was Michael Behe, who was talking about his new book, Darwin Devolves. I read his earlier book, Darwin's Black Box, which I very much enjoyed. In this talk, he focused on the subject of his new book, Darwin Devolves, which is really about the research being done currently and in recent years into the nature of the mutations that do occur naturally in DNA, and showing how it's mostly a process of decay. Anytime organisms get more efficient or more suited to their environment, then most of the time those mutations are getting rid of genes rather than adding new ones or creating new systems, which is significant in the discussion about genetics. It really reminded me of Romans chapter 8, verse 20, where it says that God subjected the creation to futility. The evidence is kind of echoing exactly what we see in scriptures, and that was powerful to me personally.
Peter, who were the presenters did you like best?
I would like to comment, Vic, on Michael Behe himself. That's one scientist that we have interviewed before for the Good News magazine, back before it was changed to the name Beyond Today. And so we've been following Michael Behe for quite some time, and he did have a fascinating talk today. I would like to go back to one of the presentations by Stephen Meyer himself, who's one of the directors at the Discovery Institute in Seattle. He talked about The Return of the God Hypothesis, which is a book he has coming out later this year, which we actually mentioned in an article in the Beyond Today magazine, the Jan-Feb issue this year. The cover article talked about the problem with evolution and the return of God, as you recall. And we quoted Stephen Meyer in that. And Stephen Meyer's book is about the return of a belief in God as the best explanation for origin of life. And he pointed out that actually the best explanation is not just any God of any religion, not even a deist belief in God, but a theist belief, and it being the God of the Old and New Testament, the God of the Jews, the God of Christians.
Yes, I was. He brought out that there's a explanation of whether we go with materialism or we go with theism. And so much of the conference kind of revolved around that, that so much right now with evolution and just the way that people regard what we see, who we are, from materialism without any divinity, you know, involved.
I do think that that is the central difference in perspective between those who deny God and those who accept God, because we all look at the same evidence in the end. You know, the measurements are the measurements, but the way we impart meaning to what we find in the scientific world comes from our worldview. And for us, in our part, we're theists, and I do believe that the world makes a lot more sense that way, and we also get purpose and meaning for our lives that way that is absent otherwise. There's also some philosophical discussion about the way the entire system of thought and scientific understanding, in fact, collapses on itself. That came out in Dr. Douglas Axe's presentation. He talked about the theoretical underpinnings of doing science or of human thought. And if we really take that materialist route to its end conclusion logically, we can't trust anything that we're doing or any of our thoughts, because it's all just a bunch of random accidents happening. None of it has any meaning. So if we want to believe that our lives do have meaning, this is the natural choice, really arising from the nature of human thought and our experience itself, that we should believe in God.
Right. There was something in this conference for everybody. And there were 1,400 people at this meeting today. Last year, this same conference had 900, and there were 1,400. What I liked about Douglas Axe, who now works with Biola University, is that he spoke about how common sense should tell you. And he had several common sense presentations or examples about what's out there.
Yeah, and he said you can just take a four-year-old child and you can crumple up a piece of paper on the table, and then it could be like made into look like anything. You can imagine you see some kind of animal face in that crumpled piece of paper or something. But then if you present an origami swan or an origami crane that someone had carefully folded with a piece of paper, that four-year-old child knows that somebody made that. It's not just a crumpled up piece of paper by accident. Somebody had to fold that carefully. So even a four-year-old has common sense and knows that things have to have an intelligence behind them. Despite what textbooks will tell our students today, no scientist has ever been able to replicate life. There's a huge difference between a chemical soup, some kind of prebiotic world, and a biotic world. No scientist can bridge that gap between the chemical soup and biology, because once you've got biology, you've got life. And the only explanation for that is an intelligence that has, just common sense tells you, has made all that we see. You see a butterfly, you see a tree, you see a flower. That's not by accident. And a four-year-old will tell you that's not by accident. In Stephen Meyer's lectures, he'll tell you that scientists agree that the entire universe is made up of energy and matter. But he says, but there's a third part to the universe, and that is intelligence or information. So you can have all the energy and matter in the universe that you want, but it will mean nothing, do nothing, be nothing, unless there's information telling it what you want it to be. And the information behind the universe that makes the planets stay in their orbits, that makes trees grow, is the information that comes from God. God's information is in everything. That's the third element that scientists, a lot of them, don't want to recognize. There's information to go along with that energy and matter.
And they're finding out that that information is very multitudinous. There is a lot of information in every single cell. One thing that I found, to me, very personally, to be uplifting in this presentation, is that I feel we live in a very hopeless world, partially because there is no understanding about the purpose of life. It's this life, there's no God, there's nobody who's really giving you any hope about anything beyond, in fact, trying to cut you off from any deity or any loving relationship with a higher power. And so people are empty, and they don't have anything. And I feel, as a minister for, you know, my whole life, is that I just feel reinforced with what I've lived, what I've pastored, and the people I meet with now, and the things that I communicate with the church, is a real joy of knowing about a God. And a seminar in a conference like this just reinforced that so much. It makes me feel good. We were there all day today, and this evening, I just feel very joyful.
I thought kind of the same thing, that it is inspiring to see people speaking from their study of the scientific world and coming to the right conclusion. And the world's not totally gone crazy. Some people can see reason in all this and come to those kind of philosophical conclusions about the fact that even from creation, it's evident that there's a creator. Just looking at the creation we live in itself, it arises just like, and that was another scripture that came up today was Romans chapter 1, where Paul talked about that famously. I did want to circle back to something that you were saying, Peter. It reminded me of the scripture when you talked about the child seeing a folded paper crane and, you know, knowing that somebody made that. I mean, comparing that to when we see another human being, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we're told. And that's so evident. We're so much more complicated than all these little things that we make that are, they're really just toys. Even, you know, all the fancy electronics and iPhones, they really are just toys. In the grand scheme of things, and in comparison to the amazing machines that God has created in our bodies, even down to the cellular level and the molecular level beyond the cellular level. And that's kind of circling me back to Michael Behe and his field. He's really all about those molecular machines and the way they just show evidence of design. Douglas Axe actually did some studies on that as well, talked about the folding of proteins, how specific that is, and just how completely and utterly absurd it is that one of those could have come to be on its own without design involved. So I thought that all those things were really great to hear today.
Mankind can create a lot of things. Like you said, we create an iPhone, create a television, make cars, right? But even the greatest technology we have to send humans to the moon and maybe Mars one day, it's lifeless. It's dead. It's just metal and plastic. It's not alive. Man cannot spark life. That comes from God. And that's fascinating. At the conclusion of the day today, they asked for the audience to pray for their work, because it is an uphill struggle against society and even against the spirit world, quite honestly, to fight this battle of a belief in God and a creator versus evolution and a lack of belief in God. And so what the Discovery Institute is doing is a good thing. They're battling hard to bring God back into the scientific world. And so I applaud their efforts.
One of the things that did strike me throughout the day, there was scripture quoted throughout the day by many of the speakers, and some of them expressed their personal views on the God of the Bible, and some of them had slightly differing views. What struck me about the work of this particular organization is they do take a narrow focus, and they do that intentionally. They work strictly from scientific principles, and they believe that from those principles that they are approaching some of the same conclusions that come from scripture also, but they do work very diligently to not interject the scriptures into their scientific work and keep themselves unbiased sources because of that. So at some points during the conference, I was kind of wanting them to come out and be like, say this, quote this scripture, and didn't quite get that on some occasions, but it is really amazing to see just the way that so many of these things from the Bible can be confirmed scientifically.
Back to the question about life itself. One interesting thing was brought out here was that in the 50s, scientists tried to create life by having ammonia gas and, you know, try to shock it and hopefully with an explosion or with a spark be able to create the building blocks of life. And not much has gone beyond just creating a few proteins that may possibly be the building blocks, but is far cry from what we see out there. We know that life comes only from life, and as Peter was just saying here, is that without life, everything would be dead. Nobody would know anything. You know?
Well, another thing that was pointed out today was that at the beginning of creation, which they would call the Big Bang or creation, it was just rocks and chemicals and gases for the longest time. But Scientists are beginning to recognize that there was a time, though, when life itself began and was created, once the universe and the systems were there to support it. So there was a moment when God then interjected life into the universe that he'd created. And scientists are starting to see that that started at a certain point.
Yeah, and so the point along with that was it's not just any God that created this universe that we see, but a God who has been active throughout that creation, not just to, you know, wind it up and then let it go and let things evolve and come what may, but a God who interjected information along the way, so to speak. That was some of the terminology that we heard. There had to be some kind of infusion of information in order for life to begin, and that goes back to the DNA code and the way all of that stores information, and really remarkable, and again shows evidence of a designer to do that, just like with our computer codes.
Yeah, so a deist would say that God started things with a big bang and then just walked away, and it was all organized to just kind of all happen and evolve, and then man would be the final product, and we're just kind of, it was all figured out, you know, to happen. But we know, and scientists are realizing more and more, that now God has had his hands in it along the way, and we know he's had his hands in it right up to the point where he actually came to this earth as Jesus Christ and fully injected himself into the creation to continue and form his plan of salvation for mankind.
Yes, I think that Discovery's mission is to deal with intelligent design, and really not to go too much further than that, and not to preach, you know, to us. We can kind of take it from there, you know, once we establish some baselines. But they made it very, very clear that there is a God that created these things. But what we understand and what we have lived with and preached all these years is that there was a plan long before the creation of mankind, even, for a family to be created in the image of God. And the Bible is a complete story about that odyssey, about that journey, which ends with Revelation 21 and 22 talking about God coming to the earth and, you know,
new heaven and a new heaven and a new earth.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful story, that this is the mission and part of the gospel message that we preach. Any final thoughts?
One thing that we had been discussing together earlier in the day was, what do we tell people who don't necessarily have a scientific background, or, especially maybe parents whose children are facing some of these things for the first time? They actually did address that right at the end of the conference and talked about it a bit, and we can maybe add our own input and thoughts on this as well. But one of the ideas was that if we really need to take an active role as parents with our children to talk with them about these things, and don't let somebody else control the conversation. We don't all have to become scientists by any means to appreciate these scientific findings from a godly perspective, and there are a lot of great resources out there like the ones that we were exposed to today that really anybody can look up these guys and find them on YouTube or their own websites, and there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah, that was going to be my final thought too, Vic, that we have a responsibility to help our children and our youth not lose track with all of this. And I think parents and grandparents need to study this for themselves so that they can talk intelligently about the subject and not, as was said today, mess it up and make it worse, and then the kids believe they're science teachers instead. No, we need to educate ourselves and read books by Behe and Meyer and Axe. Get the books. Watch their videos. A lot of them are free on YouTube. Get educated on the subject so that you can talk intelligently with your children about these things to counteract what they're hearing at school.
Yes, you can go right to discovery.org. Discovery.org. An interesting comment that was made by Doug X is that even children of parents who are atheists have within them, just in their nature, to ask where this come from and almost reach out to a deity until it's squashed, you know, by parents. But it's natural in a human being, when you kind of are out there, to say, who am I? Where did I come from?
Yeah, I think we've come back to this in several of our podcasts, that God has set eternity in man's heart. We find that in Ecclesiastes, and we do all reach out for that naturally. And just to see that observation, which was actually made by an atheist, he was quoting, and for her it was a problem that these kids were seeing the things as evidence of design and all that. But you know, for us, that kind of confirms what the scripture says, that there is a natural desire within man to look for God.
Well, this has been wonderful talking to Peter and Steve. Thank you for joining us Inside United. We hope that you've enjoyed today's podcast about our visit here to the Conference on Science and Faith. So thank you for joining us on Inside United. Please tell your friends. You can find us on the UCG.org website by clicking or tapping on the podcast button. Also, we'd like to hear from you. You can write to podcast@UCG.org. So thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.